morning for our church in the transition that we're in. Many of you know, not to elaborate right now, but you know, we're transitioning over to the Harvest building, two services more towards a multi-ethnic church starting September 22nd. And I felt like that the Lord gave me a word for our church. And so this morning is going to be a standalone message. We'll start a new sermon series next week. But I felt like that the Lord wanted to share something with us. And actually, I preached a variation of this message last week in the Chinese congregation. So I really felt like it was a word for our church. This morning will be a little bit different, but same passage. So turn in your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 6. And the title of today's message is Operation Unify. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 6, Operation Unify. So I wanted to start off by sharing with you one of my favorite videos of unity, so about a 2.5-minute video. So you're going to see a video of a herd of buffalo and some lions attack them, and watch what happens. I think this is a great display of unity. Take a look.
Trying to get away. Chase them away.
So I think you would agree that this herd of buffalo got unified. And as they got unified, this is the way they overcame the enemy, the way that they rescued the young one. And I think this is a good image for us. As a church, collectively, but also there's many relationships in our lives that we want, that we need to be unified, that as we unify in these various relationships, also as a church, that's the way we overcome the enemy. That's the way we rescue the young ones into the kingdom of light. So the million-dollar question today, as we're called to unify, and I think we would agree that it'd be a good idea to unify with as a church in other relationships in our lives. But the million-dollar question is, how can we stay unified in our relationships, specifically as a church? And so Paul, in today's passage, Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 6, he begins to unpack the answer to this question, how we can get and stay unified as a church, but also in our other relationships. So let's take a look. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 6, as Paul answers this question for us. How about let's read it out loud together in the NIV translation up on the screen. Let's read it together. This is Paul's word to the Ephesian church, but God's word to our church. Let's read together. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So I guarantee you that every single person in the Ephesian church thought unity was a good idea. I guarantee you every person in this room, as we're gathered together, we would say unity as a church, in our other relationships, that's a good idea. Paul is addressing the question of how. How are we going to get and stay unified in these relationships, church and our other relationships? So let's take a look and start breaking this down. And let's start off in verse 3, or just the first portion of verse 3. Let's read this out loud together again. Make every effort to keep the unity. So Paul was telling the Ephesian church, God is telling our church, we have a part to play in staying unified as a church, also unity in whatever other relationships. And he's saying the role that we play is so important, Paul was telling the Ephesian church and us, that he calls them to make every effort in playing their part. So the question would be, well, okay, what is our part? What do we need to make every effort in? Let's take a look at verse 2. This is our portion. Let's read it out loud together. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. This is our portion. Let me put it like this for point number one. How can we stay unified? Point number one, be completely humble, be completely gentle, be completely patient, and bear perfectly with each other. Very clearly, Paul said, this is our portion. So earlier this year, I had the privilege to officiate two weddings, back-to-back, April, May. One of them is in the back. And so what was interesting was both of these couples chose the same passage as their wedding passage. So it really stood out to me. It was this passage. A lot of people choose this passage, actually, as their wedding passage, right? It's a very beautiful passage. So we understand why people would choose it. And, I try to make weddings as celebratory as I can when I'm officiating. But at the same time, I want it to be true to what this passage was saying. So as a point of illustration, I just asked the people that were gathered together. This was at both of these weddings. And I just, as a point of illustration, I said, if you're here and you've been married for more than 1 week, have you been completely humble, completely gentle, completely patient, and that you are bearing perfectly with your spouse? And obviously no one raised their hand. And I was trying to make the point that what Paul was saying here to the Ephesian church, God included in the scripture, this is our portion, we're supposed to make every effort in, it is humanly impossible to be able to fulfill what Paul was saying in this passage, this call to unity in our portion. So the question would be then, how are we going to answer this call in this passage with what Paul was saying if this is humanly impossible? Let's keep on reading. So let's read the second portion of verse 3. Can you read it out loud with me? It says, keep the unity of the Spirit. So Paul said unity is of the Spirit. It's of the Holy Spirit. Paul was reminding the Ephesian church, God's reminding us, our unity belongs to the Holy Spirit. Or if I could put it this way, God is involved in unity. God cares about and is involved in our process of unity, in our lives, our church, or whatever relationship. So you might ask, well, how involved is God? How involved is the Holy Spirit in this process of unity? How much does God care? How much is God going to help? Let's read verse 6. This is how much God is involved. Let's read it together. Who is over all and through all and in all. Paul was telling the Ephesian church that God is the Holy Spirit is thoroughly involved in the process of unity. And Paul couldn't be more descriptive. right, of how involved, how thoroughly God is involved in the process. Because he was saying, Paul was saying to the Ephesian church, listen, God is over your church, over the Ephesian church, in the Ephesian church, through the Ephesian church, towards unity. God is saying to us, in whatever relationship this morning, and I know some of us probably walked into church this morning struggling in some relationship in our lives, and God says, listen, I'm over that relationship. I'm in that relationship. I'm through that relationship to bring forth unity. That's God's heart. That's how much God cares about and is involved in this process of unity. When I was meditating on this passage, I felt like God kept on giving me the image of baptism. I think baptism is a good image here. Because when we get baptized, literally water is over us, in us, through us. We're completely saturated and soaked with this water. And I think God is saying to the Ephesian church, when he's calling them to unify and calling them to unity, calling our relationships to unity, God is saying, that's my power. That's how involved I am. That's how much I care about it. Let me put it like this, or point number two. How can we stay unified? God saturates us with his power to unify our relationships. So you might, you know, you're here this morning, have some relationship that needs God's unity, needs God's power, and you might say, well, how do I receive this power? I need this kind of unity of Ephesians chapter 4. How do I receive this kind of power? Let's read verse 1. Let's read it out loud together. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Paul was in prison when he was writing this letter, Ephesians, to that church. So this was a desperate call from prison. A church that he loved, Paul started the Ephesian church, so he loved them so much, cared about them, and he's so desperate for them. He's writing to them a letter in prison, and he says to them, listen, I'm calling you to live out a life calling, a life that's worthy of the calling you have received. And so you might ask, well, what was the calling that the Ephesian church received, or what is the calling that we received? And I did want to point out, you know, in this passage, there certainly is a calling to unity, to unify in relationships. But I wanted to point out, and I think it's very important to point out, that that was the more superficial call. There was a call for them to unify in their relationships, unify as a church, but that was the superficial call. There is a deeper call in this passage. So what is the deeper call for the Ephesian church? What is the deeper call for our church? What is the deeper call in our lives? There is a call towards unity, but that's a superficial call. What's the deeper call? Let's read verses 4 through 6 for the deeper call. Let's read it out loud together. There is one body and one spirit, just as you are called to one hope when you are called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. I'm sure that there are many relationships in your life, maybe even this morning, that you're like, I need this kind of unity that Ephesians 4 talks about. There's many, many relationships in our church that we need this for. Many relationships in the Ephesian church that they needed God's unity for. But let me point out the obvious, that in verses 4 through 6, there is a repeated number. It appears 7 times. And Paul was saying, yes, I am calling you to unity in your relationships, even in this passage. But Paul was saying, make sure that it's clear that ultimately unity is about one relationship. It's about your relationship with God. Focus on your relationship with God, that the Holy Spirit would pour out and begin to bless and touch the other relationships in your lives. Paul was telling the Ephesian church, in this call towards unity, their deeper call was to turn their faces towards Jesus. And as they turn their faces towards Jesus, Holy Spirit would pour out into their lives, over their lives, in their lives, through their lives, so that there would be unity in their relationships, so that they could have the breakthrough in the community that they lived in. God, that's God's word for us. Let me put it like this for point number 3. How do we stay unified? When we turn our face to unify with Jesus, the Holy Spirit pours out to unify our other relationships. A call to turn our faces towards Jesus. Now, when I say that, you might be like, I mean, this is Christianity 101. You know, I learned this in first grade Sunday school. My 5-year-old son Levi could tell us that, you know, we need our most important relationship is our relationship with Jesus. But let me try to drill down deeper with this by just sharing my heart with you and just sharing kind of a little bit about our journey as our church and just the season that we're in right now. To say, you know, this is the call for us to turn our faces towards Jesus, that Holy Spirit would flow out onto us, over us, in us, through us, to unify our church, unify our relationships, that we would have the kind of breakthrough that's in this video of overcoming the enemy and rescuing the young ones. But let me drill down a little bit deeper. So I've been a part of this church for 19 years. And I just wanted to, you know, keep it real up here this morning. That at every single critical time in our church, through the years and the time that I've been here, the enemy really tries to come in at the critical times and just disunify. That's his strategy. I remember in 2001 when we were moving from Dibble Adult School in Hacienda Heights into the Harvest Building. We just purchased it. Man, if I won't go into it right now, but lots of things. Enemy was just out to just disunify and stop. It's a critical season of the church. The church is moving forward. Let's just divide things up a little bit. I remember when we moved into the Hope Building or moved forward with purchasing and moving into the Hope Building about 5 years ago, same thing. Lots of schemes of the enemy trying to disunify us. Whatever place you're in your life, if you see God moving, we don't need to be afraid of the enemy, but we need to be aware that the enemy will try to disrupt. We'll try to disunify key relationships in your lives, your spouse, your family. And he'll do everything that he can. And I just want to keep it real up here today. You know, this special, great season of our church, I want to keep it real that the enemy, I sense it, I feel it, I've experienced it, the enemy's trying to divide us. It's just a reality. We don't need to be afraid of it. And that's why I bring us this passage this morning. But we need to be aware of what the enemy is doing. Let me just give a real quick example, just in our process with the Hope Building the last, you know, 5-6 years. And, you know, it took great unity of our church. God blessed us with a lot of unity in that season and through that season. That's how, you know, we were able to fulfill God's vision for us with this building. So first I wanted to say that. But I also want to keep it real, too, about how some of you might remember in the process, in the beginning process, when we moved in the building, we're renovating this half of the building, that half of the building, we experienced a major flood that affected the whole side, upstairs and downstairs. There was a clogged toilet that overflowed the whole night, just upstairs and downstairs, that whole side of the building. $250,000 worth of damage. And, you know, just a put it in context, so we're like trying to fundraise for this building and move forward with this building and renovate it and all the rest of it. And then on top of that, $250,000 of the bill for the improvement of that. And of course that raises a lot of questions, right? So there was a lot of questions and misunderstandings. And honestly, I'm just sharing, just being real, some disunity in that. You know, great tactic of the enemy. And there came a point in time where our church leadership really, what Paul was saying here, we really needed to capture and like, you know, it was like a breaking point. Are we going to focus on what God's calling us to do or the other things? Or what I'm saying this morning is this more the superficial things. And I'm not saying that we did it perfectly, but there came a point in time where like, are we going to turn our faces towards Jesus? Instead of all the other things that are happening, but turn our faces towards Jesus, that Holy Spirit pours out over us, in us, through us, to bring the breakthrough that he has called us to. And I'm not saying that we did it perfectly, but I stand here as a testimony this morning of how God helped us in that, where we could have got distracted by all sorts of things and all sorts of disunity, honestly, but focusing on Jesus and letting the Holy Spirit pour out to do the rest. So, you know, in some sense, what Paul's saying in this passage sounds pretty easy, right? Just focus your eyes on Jesus. But, again, to keep it real, and we often say it in the vineyard especially, we got to remember that there is an opponent that's on the field. You know, this thing called life is not just us on the field, but there is an enemy trying to stop us. and trying to disunify relationships and trying to disunify church. And God is calling us in the midst of whatever else is going on in our lives or our church. Are we focused on the superficial things? Or do we need to adjust and refocus onto Jesus that his Holy Spirit pours out over us, in us, through us, to accomplish the things that he's called us to? Can I link all this to the opening video? So on YouTube, this video has close to 100 million hits, 100 million views. By the way, I didn't get this off of YouTube. Pastor Baldwin gave me this video about 9 years ago. But on YouTube, it has close to 100 million hits. Because it's a powerful display of unity. What Paul is trying to help us to image in this passage is a powerful image of getting the Ephesian church together, calling them to focus on one thing. Seven times in this passage, one thing, one Jesus. Focus there, that Holy Spirit pours out over you, in you, and through you. And that's the way that they would overcome the enemy. That's the way that they would rescue the young ones for them. And God gives us this picture because God wants this in our church. God wants this kind of unity in our lives. And I kind of wanted to close this morning by saying that, you know, God's doing a wonderful thing because God is doing this. Even some of the testimonies that we shared this morning. But I'm going to just close by sharing just a couple of testimonies because what God is calling us to in this passage, I think we need to celebrate some of the things that God is doing amongst us. So just a couple of stories. First little story that's happening in our church. And I share this first one. It's also I want to just kind of mobilize some prayer for this. But it's also involved in this. It's also a testimony. All right, so in mid-February, there was a young girl, 23 years old, recent graduate of a UCI, and she got into a very serious car accident that left her paralyzed from the neck down. And long story short, our brother Gary became the driver of this mom. This mom is from China, but she obviously flew over in this desperate situation and wanted to go visit her daughter every day. And Gary had the opportunity to drive her to the hospital every single day. And Gary, I'm really proud of you, by the way, Gary, took this opportunity to share the gospel with this mom. And he shared the gospel with her, but Gary felt like, you know, he needed to connect this mom with some sisters. And so long story short again, but Gary's connected this lady named Rachel, this mom Rachel, to Susie and to Melody. And Melody and Susie continued to share the gospel with Rachel and ended up leading Rachel to Christ. And then ended up leading this 23-year-old girl, Rico, to Christ as well. And since that time, Melody and Susie have been visiting Rachel and Rico in the hospital right now weekly, but before even more than weekly. And I just wanted to share this. First of all, I just want to commend, and there's others that have visited as well from our church, but I just want to commend our church and just acknowledge that is exactly the image that Paul was talking about. That's exactly the image of the video. Like, let's turn our faces towards Jesus and then Holy Spirit pour out on us in such an overwhelming, thorough way that we begin to unify and we begin to rescue the young ones. Rico is 22 years old. She just recently turned 23. This is what God is doing. I do have a picture just from this was last week, and I happened to be there that week. But Melody and Susie have been visiting every single week, or sometimes more than every single week. And this is beautiful of what God is doing. And I wanted to say, listen, when we move forward in this transition, this is what it's about. That's what it's about. I said this along the way, and I just feel like I need to say it again this morning. I want to make sure you hear it from me and from the pulpit. This transition is not about building a bigger church. God forbid that we just try to build a bigger church. But this transition is about turn our faces towards Jesus. Make sure we're turned even more towards Jesus and not the superficial things that Holy Spirit pours out, that we get to rescue the young ones into the kingdom of light. That's what it's about. That's what the transition, that's what this church, this is what the kingdom is about, guys. And that's what we need to be about. Second little testimony. Some of you know that we've been having an ongoing partnership with Isaiah's Rock. It's a food pantry over in Chino. And we've been having that part. Actually, Joe Lee just mentioned a testimony this morning. And my parents, Peter and Kathy, recently, a couple Fridays ago, connected with Eddie King, the guy that's leading the ministry over there at Isaiah's Rock, and just asked if they could start setting up a tent every Friday morning to hand out Bibles for free, hand out Christian literature for free, and just hang up a sign with our Vineyard motto, "Can I pray for you right now?" And just minister to people every Friday morning, along with some people here. I have a couple of pictures here. And this is also just exactly the image that Paul was trying to communicate. Turn our faces towards Jesus. Holy Spirit pours out in an overwhelming way over us, in us, through us, that we start rescuing the young ones. This one picture, the bigger picture here, is a guy named George. He accepted Christ a couple Fridays ago. And God's using us in this. Guys, this is what it's about. This is what it's about. This is what, honestly, this is what life is about. Turn our face towards Jesus and Holy Spirit pours out, unifies us, that we overcome the enemy and we rescue the young ones in the kingdom of light. By the way, it's not about age. All right, these guys happen to be like, you know, early 20s, like that Rico and this guy named George. I didn't prepare to share this until like minutes before this service started. But yesterday we had a baptism for Byron's parents. We baptized them in their backyard. They're probably 70 years old. Yeah, 70 years old. When we say young ones, I know, because I've been doing this for 19 years now, I know, and I'm sure there's many of you here, you're praying for your parents. You're praying for your loved ones to come to Christ. Don't give up. Don't give up. And I just, you know, Byron actually didn't invite me to this baptism, but I kind of invited myself. I was so excited about this that I knew I needed to be there. So I texted him and asked him if I could come. And listen, this is what it's about, guys. This is what it's about. I don't know what else, you know, you would say. Let me just keep it real here a little bit about this, about, you know, how God wants to disunify us. And then I'm gonna land it on that. It's very real of how God wants to disunify. I mean, I just want to keep it real and tell you, like, you know, I've been in so many conversations and meetings about this transition in the last couple of months. And I'll go into one meeting. And just honestly, you know, like, I'll go to the meeting and it'll be like, oh, we feel like this transition is all about the English congregation. Then I'll go into the next meeting and it's like, oh, you know, I feel like we're focused way too much on the Chinese congregation. I'll go into the next meeting. It's like, oh, we just keep talking about multi-ethnic. Are we talking about this too much? Next meeting, you know, are we talking about the kids too much? You get the idea. What I'm trying to just say and just keep it real about is that the enemy trying to disunify us as a church, but and the enemy trying to disunify you in your relationship, it's very real. But Paul gives us the prescription in this passage. Don't focus on the superficial things. That's where the enemy wants us to focus on. Like, let's turn our faces towards Jesus. Let's just make sure we are just squarely towards Jesus. We're focused on him. That's where the power is going to come from. That's where the power of the Holy Spirit will come over us, in us, through us, for the breakthrough that God desires for our lives, for our families, for our church. And that's the kingdom. And that's God's heart for us. As we close this morning, we're going to sing that very familiar song. I'm sure most of you know it. We just turn our eyes upon Jesus. Let's just focus there. Because is the enemy trying to get you to focus maybe more on the superficial things, the problems, maybe the disagreements, the superficial things of life? Come on. That's what the enemy does. combat the enemy, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Turn your face towards Jesus today. That's where the Holy Spirit's going to pour out on you, on us, over us, in us, and through us. Let's all stand as we respond to God's word. Worship team, if you can come forward. Prayer team, if you can come forward too. And I just want to give an opportunity to respond to this word.